listening to the U-Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U-Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Croston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today joining me is Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. It is so good to be with you once again as we look at this study on the Holy Spirit. Never alone, the Holy Spirit in our lives. So the second session is born again by the Spirit. This lesson is going to help us to understand how we can actually have eternal life. So that should be familiar to us. We know John 3:16. So this is a story about Nicodemus. And the scripture passage is John 3, verses 1 through 8, and verses 14 through 17.
All right, so the point of our lesson today is the Holy Spirit brings us into a new life as we place our trust in Jesus. Very good. So how would you explain how to become a Christian? Well, here's the answer. Point number one, a new birth is the process. Let me read these three verses. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can perform these signs you do unless God were with him." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So we're starting out with this reminder that the new birth is a process. And so this familiar passage for people who have been around the church about Jesus and Nicodemus is a great study for us on today. We remember Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was one of the Jewish religious rulers of his day, but he was inquisitive about who Jesus was. And so he recognizes that Jesus is doing signs and wonders. And he says in the end of verse number two, that nobody could do these kind of signs unless God was with him. And so Jesus replies to him, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So here's the word born again. Sometimes we'll use the word saved. Sometimes we'll say a person needs to enter into a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. So there are a number of ways that we might speak about this. And so in this lesson, we're using the words like are in the text here, born again. And so we're born physically, and this is the idea of being born spiritually. And he says, unless we are born spiritually, born from above, we cannot see the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God, remember, is the rule and the reign of God. It is where God is fully in control and his glorious presence is fully known. And so Jesus talks a lot about the kingdom of God and his desire and ours as believers is to bring everybody that we can into the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? That means that they're in a place where God is Lord, ruler, sovereign, and leader in their lives, part of the kingdom of God. He is the king. We are being led by him. And which is another way of talking about what we're talking about when we talk about being saved or when we talk about being born again. Now, I just want to make sure that you're clear on this term, the kingdom of God. We're still talking about is the same kind of relationship with God. We don't have that relationship when we're born physically. And that's why it says born again. But when we're born from above, born in the spirit, when we come into the family of God, we enter the kingdom of God, the place where God is sovereign and rules and reigns in the hearts of every believer. And so he says about this, he says, unless you have that kind of relationship with God, you can't even see the kingdom of God, not be in it. He says you can't even see it. And so there are some people, a lot of people who claim to be saved, but being saved really means that I'm growing deeper in my relationship, continually growing deeper in my relationship and allowing God to be ruler over more and more of my life as the days go by, right? So the kingdom of God growing in my life. What do you think on these first verses, Christina?
Yeah, Mark, you know, and when you talk about the kingdom of God, it's not just the place where we spend eternity. And I think that's where some people get tripped up on, but it is a new life. The way, a changing of our heart and the way that we live. And, you know, and one of the things that jumped out to me is about Nicodemus. This Pharisee really represents the way that we should come to Christ. He came to Christ, you know, inquisitive. He had no animosity, even though the Pharisees were always opposing Christ. He came with an open mind and ready to really know what this was all about. So he had an attitude that we should have when we have that unction from the Holy Spirit, that there's something that we need. And what we need, of course, is the Holy Spirit so that we can be saved. So it doesn't matter who we are, what we know, we must come to Jesus with an open mind, just like Nicodemus did.
All right. That's great. It's absolutely powerful. So the new birth is a process. So Jesus talked often about how the kingdom of God is growing. And so we're going to grow in allowing God to be Lord and over more and more of our lives, a process, right? So once the day you're saved isn't the day that you become a perfect being, right? We continually grow in him as we continue to go. So let's see. The second point says that the Holy Spirit is required. So remember, this is a lesson on the Holy Spirit, and so he is absolutely required. Let me read verses 4-8. It says, "But how can anyone be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked him. "Can he enter his mother's womb the second time and be born?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I tell you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So this is a reminder that you must be born, that the Holy Spirit is required. So there was an old song, I'm trying to remember it, the Church of God in Christ would sing. And they would say, you cannot join it. You must be born in it. So that's a great reminder that the Holy Spirit is required for this process. This is not just, you can't just sign up for this on your own strength and power. The Holy Spirit is the one that enlightens us to our need for God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who draws us closer to God. And then the Holy Spirit is the one who actually performs the work of adopting us into the family of God. And so it says, all of us are born physically. That's what he's talking about when he says born of the water. But we need to also be born spiritually, born of the Spirit. Just like you didn't have any control over your physical birth, you need the Holy Spirit to take control of your spiritual birth. And so that's important. So we understand this in three ways are listed in the book. Some scholars believe that Jesus was referring to water baptism. This would align with the ministry of Jesus and John the Baptist. Others have suggested the water was only a symbol of the cleansing of the Spirit. If this is true, then both words and referring are the same thing. The final view assumes that Jesus was referring to the watery fluid of the physical birth. This would be parallel to his statements in verse 6, whoever is born of the flesh is flesh, and the Spirit is the Spirit. So what are you thinking in this section, Christina?
Well, Mark, I'm thinking about what you just said. I think I had heard that there were so many interpretations of that born of the water. But, you know, where we actually landed is, of course, it's an analogy for being born of the Spirit. I think that's the way that we should look at it. But, you know, it's pretty clear that there is criteria to being in the kingdom of God, and that is that you have to be born of the water and the Spirit. And so it's as if you would trying to get into a country, and in that country, it says you can't be there unless you were born in that country. And so it doesn't matter whether you spoke the language, whether your parents were born there and living there, or whether even your children were born there and living there. What it's saying here is that you have to be born in that country if you really wanted to live there. So this is all a personal matter that each of us has to do. And it's not, you know, in order for the work of the Holy Spirit to get us saved. So we have to be saved individually, I guess is what I'm saying here. And the Holy Spirit is the one that does that work. We can't control it. As Mark said, that you know, there's nothing that we can do. He works in ways that we don't understand and we can't predict. So praise God for the Holy Spirit.
So just remember, a new birth is the process. The Holy Spirit is required. And then finally, our third point, belief in Jesus is the key. So let me start reading at verse number 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. All right, so Jesus is the key. Holy Spirit is required. Jesus is absolutely the key. And so it begins by reminding us of a story in the Old Testament where the people that Moses was leading had gotten sick, and God told Moses to raise up a serpent on the stick. And as he raised the serpent on the stick, whoever would look at the serpent would be healed. And so that was a great illustration. In fact, you see that in doctor's offices, even to this day, the snake on the stick is a symbol that they use in the medical profession, even to this very day. And so he said, just like the people were healed in the time of Moses by looking at the snake on the stick, you can read all about that in Numbers 21. They were healed by looking at the snake on the stick. He said, he reminds us that the Son of Man would also be lifted up, huh? And everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. How was he lifted up? He too was lifted up on the stick called Calvary, on the cross of Calvary. He was lifted up, and we look to him. We look to the work that he has done on the cross of Calvary, and there we find eternal life. And mm-hmm. So what are you thinking in this section, Christina?
You know, yeah, that is so true. Even though he was lifted up and he bore our sins, Jesus never became a sinner. I don't know if that's something that most of us have thought about. He didn't become a sinner. He continued to remain the Holy One throughout this entire ordeal on the cross. So even though becoming sin for us was a holy, righteous act of love, Jesus remained pure and holy. Yeah, and I wanted to get into that John 3:16 a little bit. I don't know if you're ready to get into that, Mark.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, you know, this is a very familiar verse. I don't know whether we can say anything new about it. We see it at football games and all over. Even sinners know this verse, I'm sure. For God so loved the world this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Jews of that day, really, they rarely thought that God loved the world. This was revolutionary for them because they felt that God loved the Israelites. And that was pretty clear. So now Jesus comes out that God loves everyone. And that's something that we should consider as well, that it's not just a select people that he loves, but that's everyone. And I think that that's what draws people, because in this world, there's so much hate and unhappiness and difficulty, that the word love helps people to know that there is something, some other way that they can get over all of this. And so we see that God, the one who created the world and created everything that we know, he loves the world. He loved the world, and he loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice something that he loved. And that was his Son, his one and only Son, Jesus.
So often people will think about this and they'll say that the Bible condemns people. So that's why verse number 17 is so important. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. No, the Bible doesn't condemn anybody. It just reveals the truth of what's going on and what will happen, right? And so he is revealing the thought that there is an impending disaster down the road. But the reason he reveals it is so we can be saved through him. Right. So if somebody told you that you're driving down the road and that half a mile down the road around the corner where you can't see, the bridge is out. If you just keep speeding down that road after somebody told you that it's there and you end up in a disaster, it's nobody's fault but yours. And that's why Jesus came to tell us of the impending disaster, because he wants us to be saved and not destroyed. So we're grateful for that. And so this is going to be an important lesson. I think this is a real message, lesson with a powerful evangelistic undertone. And so there might be some people who are in your class, or if your class is now hybrid in the room and online, don't forget to take some time and press for a decision with this class, because this is an important class. This is a great lesson to give an evangelistic appeal for those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. All right. So if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on for just a moment, because Christina is going to give us a powerful teaching tip. But I just want to remind each of you that you can get your own copy of the You Bible Study at lifeway.com/you. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. Comes in paper and digital formats, has a teacher's guide in the back of the book, daily devotional guides, which keep us in the Word of God every day, comes with a beautiful teacher's pack, and aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. And so take advantage of that. So Christina, come on and give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, Mark, our teaching tip for today is related to what you just said. This session has evangelical undertones, or evangelistic undertones. So one of the things that you can do as a teacher is to prepare your students to share their faith. So research some gospel tracts online and come up with a simple and quick way to share the gospel. This is something that you as a teacher will demonstrate in front of your class. But prior to that, download some free tracts. There's a website called freegospeltracts.org, freegospeltracts.org, and download some of those free tracts, enough to give to your students. Or you can just make copies of a few gospel presentations. And there's so many of those online, but make sure that it follows what the Word of God says. There's one that's real popular called The Roman Road. So bring all of that to class to share, distribute these copies and to the learners. And also, we've made this easy for you. Also, you can use the presentation on page 2 in your You Bible Study. During the session, encourage learners to learn and use these to help them to share their faith. It's not going to be easy at first, especially if they are just starting to do this. But over time, they will develop more confidence, especially as they memorize a lot of these presentations. Discuss with them the importance of sharing their personal experiences, sharing their testimonies, and sharing how God has worked in their life. So this is a great opportunity to learn and share the plan of salvation. Excuse me.
All right. Very good. Very good. So we believe, pray before you do this, pray before you teach this lesson, because we believe it's going to have a powerful impact on the lives of those who are listening. And there's going to be fruit for the kingdom of God. Friend, join us again for another You podcast, because you never know where God will take you.